On RN, you're listening to The Rhythm Divine, where spirituality meets music, with Jeff Wood.
One of the Buddha abbots had a vision at one time that he saw the king of death. He looked down in the earth, and a passageway opened up into the earth. And suddenly from his throat came this extraordinary sound. Which is the multiphonic deep chest chanting of the Goethe monks that they are so famous for. The king of death, when he heard it, this was a sound that compelled him in a way to follow the Dharma and not to use his power as the lord of death to harass beings, but simply to be there to help them in their transformation toward infinite life, if you will, because the control of death means the mastery of life, you know. And that is the wonderful tradition of the Goethe monks that I think is very, very remarkable and makes them so important.
The American Buddhist scholar Robert Thurman, co-founder of Tibet House New York, father of Uma Thurman, and the first American to be ordained a monk in the Tibetan Buddhist tradition in 1964. Speaking there in a new documentary called Pure Sound, a behind-the-scenes look at the lives of the Gutu monks of Tibet in their new monastery in exile in northern India. Hello, I'm Jeff Wood, and the pure sounds of Tibetan monks are at the heart of this week's program, as we hear an exclusive recording of the Gutu monks' tantric chant. And in case you think that sounds a little bit challenging, well, let me remind you that these monks were 2011 Grammy nominees up there with the Soweto Gospel Choir and Ali Faka Ture. And that's a story that we'll hear shortly. The Gutu monks are an ancient lineage of the Gelugpa school of Tibetan Buddhism to which the Dalai Lama belongs. Regarded as masters of ritual, they follow the path of Tantra, a method for cultivating wisdom that involves intense meditation and visualization of specific deities, although these divine qualities are equally considered to be energies within each of us. The monks also specialize in the deep-voiced harmonic chant that we'll hear throughout the program. Now, harmonic chant means that each monk is able to produce several notes at once over a 3-octave range using a combination of fundamental notes and overtones. The Gutu monks have been visiting Australia since 1994 and now have their own base here with Gutu House Australia. Later we'll hear from the director, Maureen Fallon, and translator Sonam Rigson, who'll help explain the tradition of Tibetan tantric chant. And we'll also hear from the man behind the documentary film Pure Sound, director John Doggett Williams. But first, the Gutu monks, introduced by Sonam Rigson.
The first chant is called the Blissful Chant, composed by Lama Tsongkhapa, the 13th century yogi, scholar, original thinker, the founder of Gelug lineage of Tibetan Buddhism, honoring the Buddha and also outlining the basic Buddhist tenet philosophy. Oh,
Sonam Dorji, the healing monk who's in my documentary, was one of the four monks who were part, I think it was four, who was part of the recording that became the Grammy-nominated album. And he was the monk in my documentary that was about to go into a retreat that lasted 3 years, 3 months and 3 days, where he virtually didn't speak to anyone. So the only person I know, and I know a lot of professional musicians, the only person I know who's ever been nominated for a Grammy was a monk who took a vow of silence, which annoyed a lot of musician friends.
Well, John, who are the Gutto monks?
Well, they're a lineage that's 600 years old, and they're Tibetan Buddhists. Their path is the tantric path, which is the higher path. They're the serious academic monks who spend their lives studying, but also they're known as healing monks, the keepers of the customs. And traditionally in Tibet, they would be studying, but they'd often go out and travel to communities far and wide. They were received as a great blessing when they did appear. They were known as healers. It's healing not just in the sense of being a physician. It's healing in terms of the environment and a defeating of negative forces. Of course, we don't understand what they're chanting. Even if we were Tibetan, we wouldn't understand what they're chanting. They slur their words. It's described by one of the great former chant masters in the documentary that they deliberately make the words obscure and or difficult to understand. So I don't know what they're chanting, but it's an energy and a force that's consciously harnessed. When we were living in the monastery, the gong began at 2:30 a.m. And I think for some, their meditation practice began at 4:30. They would chant for till 7 or 8 a.m. or somewhere. It varies for, you know, this is a monastery that's called a university, so there's different levels all the way through. So that out of the 500 monks who were living there, 200 were children. So there's different levels, but my understanding of the routine was that some began at 4:30 and would finish at 8. They'd take a rest for an hour or two, then go back to...
This is chanting?
Chanting, yeah. It depends. There's different rituals too. So some rituals involve monks chanting for up to 21 hours, you know. And as Lobsang Sering, the former chant master who was in the documentary, he describes chanting for 18 hours and not noticing it till he gets back to his room, where he does feel a little weary after.
Well, you managed to gain access to one of the great Buddhist monasteries of the world and one of Tibet's most sacred institutions, the Gutto Tantric Monastery, which is now in exile in Dharamsala in India. And not only that, but you were there for the inauguration of the new monastery by His Holiness the Dalai Lama. Now, that must have been an amazing occasion.
It was an important event. This was really their third major monastery, their third home since they fled into exile from Tibet in 1959. Most of the people came because they knew that the Dalai Lama was going to be there. But it was officially a three-day event, so I think there would have been between 5,000 to 8,000 people coming. And with the Himalayas as the backdrop, the colours were pristine, the air was clear, and the colours were remarkable.
We all live in the day-to-day world of the Dharma, where we are condemned to repeat the same mistakes over and over. But there are two ways out. Most take the sutra, but the higher path is the tantra. To enter the tantric path, you must be initiated, empowered through the Guhya Samaja. For 600 years, the Guhya Samaja has been the heart of Gutto culture. A shared set of beliefs, minutely detailed in a secret text. Its practice is the fulfillment of a promise by the monks to its founder, Tsongkhapa.
The Australian actor Tony Collette narrating a new documentary film called Pure Sound about the lives of Gutu monks as they settle into their relocated monastery in Dharamsala, northern India. Founded in Tibet in 1475, the Gutu Tantric Monastery was forced into exile after the 1959 Chinese occupation. We also heard from the director of the documentary, John Doggett Williams. On RN, you're listening to The Rhythm Divine and the pure sound of tantric chant with the Gutu monks of Tibet. And yes, you can download the audio from our website. Just put The Rhythm Divine into your search engine. And let me remind you that the free ABC Radio app for iPhone and Android is finally here, offering easy access to more than 19 radio stations, including RN, on your mobile phone. Grammy nominees in 2011 for their album Pure Sounds, the Gutu Monks' new album is a meditation on living and dying called Dying to Live, featuring their root tantric practice, the Guhya Samaja chant. We'll hear more about that in a moment with the director of Gutu House Australia, Maureen Fallon, and translator Sonam Rigson, who introduces their invocation chant.
The second chant is known in Tibetan language, Jenden, in English, invocation chant, in which monks will be invoking the universal love, compassion and wisdom, inviting a Buddha to come along and bless all living beings.
Start with congratulations, Maureen and Sonam. The most recent album for the Gutu monks, Pure Sound, was nominated for a Grammy Award in the Best Traditional World Music Album in 2011, produced by the Byron Bay producer Kamal Engels. Quite an amazing thing to happen. How did that come about?
We'd been recording with Kamal for a CD that he was producing for his American record company, New Earth Records. And it was one track. And when he sent it off to his company in America, they just listened to the monks chanting and said, my goodness, you know, we'd like to make a whole CD. And fairly flippantly, we said, well, we've got a few here in Australia. Why don't you just take one? And they said, no, we want to do a complete recording. So we went ahead and re-recorded a whole CD with Kamal and sent it off without, let's say, an enormous amount of thought or expectation. And as I understand it, the New Earth Record Company were also recording at the time. Was it Nina Simone?
Tina Turner,
that's right. She's been interested in Buddhism in recent years and was apparently recording a CD at the time. So they were planning to submit her CD for a Grammy and at the last minute decided to throw in the Guto Monks one as well. And I think to all of our surprises, the Guto Monks were nominated, which was something we didn't even understand the importance of at the time. You know, I just went, oh yeah, okay, so what, you know. But as time went on, I realised that for a musician, that's regarded as fairly important.
Paradox of expectation.
Has that changed the way you do things?
Not at all. Not at all, really. It's impressed a lot of people, and we have the Grammy medallion to prove it. It was good for the monks in India to hear, because a lot of Guto supporters around the globe, obviously, particularly in the States, heard about the Grammy. And so the monastery was pleasantly surprised to have lots of emails and phone calls from America going, wow, you know, look what's happened. Sound was 2010-2011, but recently, in the last couple of months, we've been able to produce a meditation CD, which we've been... It's been in the works, let's say, for some years, and we've finally got round to doing it. When the Dalai Lama was here a few years ago in Sydney at Homebush, the Guto monks were on stage with him chanting as part of the ceremonies, and he asked them to chant the root tantra of Gya Samaja, which is the core practice of Guto Monastery. And they did it very slowly and powerfully, and it was quite amazing. And I reckon a good percentage of the 5,000 people who were there came up to us afterwards and says, where do we get this? Where do we get this? So we actually did record it with the help and support of the ABC, actually. Then we did nothing with it because we wanted to use it as a guided meditation CD. And as you yourself know, Jeff, that's not an easy thing to produce. So finally, we did it a couple of months ago, and we've produced it as a two-disc set. So there's an hour and a quarter of the whole Root Tantra chanting on one disc, and on the other is a 29-minute guided meditation. And it's called Dying to Live. And the whole point of it is, for Tibetans particularly, they like to have that chant done as you're going through the dying process. And the guided meditation is about taking you through that process. But we've done it, thanks to Sonam's wonderful translation, in a very accessible way for the Western mind. It's not at all, let me get this straight, it's very useful for people who are dying or indeed who have even passed that stage. But it's also really good for learning to live happily. You know, it's getting rid of your fears, getting rid of your negativity. Maybe Sonam might have something to add to that, but it's an important CD, and people have been waiting for our next meditation CD for a long time. So we're pleased that we've been able to complete it.
Sonam, could you perhaps explain what that root tantra is in very simple terms?
But before I answer that question about the Grammy nominee, I asked the senior Mangye Lama, who is about 76 years of age, a Guto elder, what it means as a recognition. And he said, it's about time we get recognition. We've been going this for, doing this for nearly 600 years. We are the oldest, world's oldest rock and roll band. And so, speaking of oldest rock and roll band, the lyrics, the song of any band has to be a song. And so I can put it that way. Guya Samaja is the core basic song for the Kyoto monks, as indeed is it regarded as the most important sacred Buddhist esoteric text from which all types of Buddhist teachings, all strands of Buddhist culture are believed to have come out. And so it's all about, at one level, the core practice of the Gyuto monks. At a much deeper level, it's a kind of a redefinition of what its death means, and kind of debunking the fear surrounding dying, where we all think, directly or indirectly, we are going to become nothing, extinct. Buddha said, you will never become extinct. The continuity of a consciousness, which is the core of yourself, will never be disintegrated. And through that teaching, through meditation, mindfulness, and going over and over again, that you get a new idea. What does that mean? Which dissolves our conventional fear of that I'm going to become nothing, which causes tremendous fear, which complicates living here now. Through that Guhya Samaja teaching, you get rid of that and you truly live in the present.
The tours are basically year-round now. They're just, it's the endless tour, you know. Forget Johnny Farnham, we're actually on the endless tour. And it's having an enormous effect on Australians, enormous, all over the country. And it's really the greatest good news story around, I think.
And to add on to that, the Tibetans have a saying, Ser sao dun hue nam ka chap, meaning, if the gold is a pure gold, it does not have to break, the shine will illuminate. And it applies to anything in the world, the product, the quality of product, eventually, it's a secret for its longevity and its survival. Like that, the monks are very pure in their traditions. 18 years, they are still same as before. No changes, people see. No skeletons or anything that come out of it is meant to come cropper, it would come cropper. That shows the true integrity, and that's what always keeps in the good state.
And something that's happening, we've been showing, Pure Sound has shown in a number of capital cities so far. It's really at the very beginning. But in the screenings that have happened so far, what the main comment that people are making as they're coming out, apart from it being beautiful and wonderful, et cetera, but what they're realizing is that the programs that the monks carry out in Australia, whether it's the sand mandala, whether it's the chanting or the butter sculpture or the ceremonies, it's actually their lives. It's not entertainment. It's not being done specially for an audience. It's what the monks do with their lives, every day of their lives. And the film shows that in the monastery, that they're just doing it and doing it. And I think that 600-year-old practice, that notion of that, the film is bringing out very clearly. And I think people are finding that very, very interesting. And they're beginning to get a deeper understanding of the monks as a result.
You know, the way they train themselves to do that chanting is not just a mechanical, gimmicky thing. It comes from the study of selflessness. Normally when people speak, they feel that, you know, their own self, you know, their ego, their solid self, is kind of producing a sound that they recognize as their own voice. But to make that sound that those guys make, you have to go to where you have realized that your self is selfless. That is to say, you have to completely open your heart center in a certain way. That selfless identity relates, I believe personally, to a muscular relaxation in the thorax around the vocal cord that allows the vocal cords to resonate freely in that way, like a guitar, a multi-string guitar, where the other strings will resonate to the one. They're just letting sound, they're becoming vessels of this magical sound, you know, which is expressing what the Tibetans call the roar of voidness, or the roar of the lion's roar of the teaching of selflessness. So that voice very much relates to the central philosophical insight and experiential enlightening insight of the Tibetan Buddhists, which is the insight, the wisdom of selflessness.
Tibetan scholar Robert Thurman reminding us that Buddhist chant is more than simply reciting sacred texts. It's also a form of meditation which represents the Buddhist insight into the nature of the self. As he says, the chant is known as the lion's roar of the teaching of selflessness. And that's from a new documentary film, Pure Sound, a rare glimpse behind the scenes of the Gutu Tantric Monastery in northern India. And the film's director, John Doggett Williams, was one of our guests this week, along with the director of Gutu House Australia, the unflappable Maureen Fallon, and translator Sonam Rigson. We also heard exclusive Rhythm Divine recordings of four Gutu monks with their unique, deep-voiced harmonic chanting style. Lama Gyurmi Chogyal, Tashi Gyaltso, Gen Lama Thupten Phuntsok, and Lungri Tempa. And you can download the audio of the complete program or the individual chants by going to the RN website and finding the Rhythm Divine. I'll have links to the documentary and to the Gutu monks, and you'll also find a gallery of images taken during the recording so you can put faces to names. My thanks to Mark Don for the studio recording of the Gutu monks and to Michelle Goldsworthy for sound production this week. I hope you've enjoyed meeting our monks. I'm Jeff Wood. Till next time, take care and remember, that's the Rhythm Divine.